Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Even though I kind of forgot this morning, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up there this morning. Actually, it was this afternoon, to be fair. I actually kind of forgot it was Wednesday. It didn't post it, and then I was like, oh, wait, I forgot to do the blog. But it is up there if you want to swing on over there and check it out. Now, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E's.
All right. So you were kind of in the middle of a story. What is it, something we can start with?
Yeah. I'm working. I didn't realize, well, first of all, I just got to say NBC Sports, I know it's a dying thing, but they could at least, I wanted to watch the Sox game, you know, even though Giolito wasn't playing. It just kept cycling or circling or whatever, so I never got that one through. But, you know, I kind of bounced around watching different games today, but I stuck on the Milwaukee Mets game. I don't know, Big Jack, as much as I love baseball, I just, you know, had no interest in watching a couple games that were going on today. Can't think of who it was. I mean, honestly, Kansas City. Or the Texas and Detroit, I just, you know, didn't really care too much about. The Cincinnati, Kansas City, I was like, meh. So I was watching Atlanta and Pittsburgh for a little bit. Of course, I started the kid who pitched for the Pirates today. Yeah, got his ass kicked. But, you know, I ended up after the rain delay settling on the Brewers and Mets. I figured, why not keep it in division, right? And plus with Jacob deGrom pitching, it's not a bad one to pick up on. So, you know, mind you, again, I'm working, so I've got it on one screen since I needed my iPad won't update to the level that you need for MLB.tv. So, you know, I'm not fully paying attention, but I've got the sound on. I'm working, doing this, doing that. I turn over, it's the bottom of the eighth, and I'm so confused on why the hell there's a man on second. There's no outs and no one's even caught. You know, and I realized afterwards that it was part of a doubleheader. But, you know, at first, if you can imagine, Big Jack, I was like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. When did the rules completely change where if the home team is losing in the bottom of the eighth, they get a guy on second? So I started my tweet to you, which I never sent because, you know, had I tagged the right amount of people, oh, can you imagine the crap I would have got for that one? You know, I didn't send it. But, man, was I thrown off. And I'm like, what the hell are they doing in this game? We're just going to put guys on second? So I accidentally watched an extra inning game. That's my first one for a doubleheader. And, you know, here's – I don't know. I just – maybe the game would have went a lot longer, but, you know, they're not scheduled till 7 o'clock. So did it really matter having a full nine-inning game or, you know, oh, they're too tired. Is that pretty much what it's about? I don't remember what the whole seven-inning thing was about.
You know, it's for TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they want to shorten the game. So.
You know what would shorten the game? Getting rid of umpires calling balls and strikes. So then you can't have any arguments and, you know, updating the instant replay to just a guy in a booth who comes on the video board and tells you if he's safe or out and maybe gives an explanation. I don't know. I think that could speed up the game. But, you know, it just threw me off. I'll probably never get used to this. I'll be, you know, 75 years old. Oh, it sucks. Turn it off. With my grandchildren going, why, Grandpa, it's extra innings. No, it's not. It's crap. Back in my day. So, you know, that was, I guess, my only complaint for today. I don't know. I can't get used to it, Big Jack. I don't know about you. I guess I had two complaints. NBC Sports.
I can't stand that. Well, you know, like we've talked about it before, when the game, if a game goes into extra innings and I'm watching it, I turn it off.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't even bother with it. It's just it's a waste of time because it's no longer baseball. It's some hybrid goofy thing that they came up with to pacify the media.
Yeah, well, and in this instance, Big Jack, granted it only went to the bottom of the eighth, and the Mets wouldn't have won. Well, number one, the game wouldn't have been, the Brewers wouldn't have gone over to have the win, you know, to go up 3-2 if it weren't for the bad pitching in the bottom, you know, the top of the eighth by the Mets. And then again, more bad pitching in the bottom of the eighth by the Brewers. Maybe not bad pitching, but just didn't work out for him. But this game, let's just say, you know, Milwaukee hits 3-2, Mets come back, bottom of the eighth, tie the game, inning ends, and all of a sudden we're in the ninth inning. I know you can't account for or expect tie games and doubleheaders, but is that essentially right? Aren't we right back where we were?
Yeah, I honestly don't know where we are with this. I mean, it's so, you know, it's so ridiculous. I mean, what's the next step for them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm all for ties.
If these don't work, what's the next thing you change?
Yeah, well, there really isn't much, so I don't think they're changing much. But, you know, that's the other part of it. Like, with all the money that MLB has generates each year, granted last year, blah, 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 you know how that goes. You can't tell me they don't have enough data that wouldn't allow for ties. You know, I mean, there's 162 games. It's not like we're talking about the NFL with 18 – or is it 18 now or whatever, how many games they play, where, you know, a tie game makes a huge difference. This is 162
hang on,
game
you're,
season.
Hang on, you're cutting out. Let me throw you on hold and bring you back in and see if that kind of clears things up. All right, let's see if this helps.
Did that help?
Yeah, let's see if that helps now.
I don't know. Did it help? I might have to call back.
So we'll see. You know, we'll see how it goes. Dan's gonna kind of reset here and call us back, and hopefully we will get a little bit better reception from him, because I don't know about you, but I could hear him cutting out. So let's bring him back in here. Come on. There we go. All right, let's see if that's better now.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, like I could hear you before, but like I would hear three or four words, then you'd disappear for a couple. So
yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Art, You know, the Pete Rose talks being brought back into MLB, you know, that the Hall of Fame, all that talk, you know, that was kind of the So we don't have anything going on in sports, and it's summertime. Can we – let's just talk about this for a segment or two. Is that pretty much discussing this BS about ties, seven-inning doubleheaders, and extra innings? Is that like the new topic that has taken over, would you say? I mean, we could go on about it, and you could probably always get people one way or the other. I just don't understand why a tie can't be instituted. Just, you don't want it to go over nine innings.
There's gotta be a better way to do it, you know. So.
Yeah, well, you know, don't ask the Cubs because apparently they haven't figured out a better way to win.
You just gotta. Well, you know, instead of having the runner put on second. I mean, in all honesty, at this point, I would rather see them all go once through the lineup and the team that hits the most home runs wins.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, anything is better. You know, I shouldn't say anything, but almost anything is better than what they're doing now. So, you know, I mean, between the seven-inning doubleheaders, which are just flat-out stupid, I mean, we're talking about professional athletes. I mean, I can see if these were unpaid, you know, players, it would be a different story. You know, seven innings is a softball game. That's what we used to play when I played softball. But, you know, and then, we got to get the game over faster, so put a runner on second. No, why don't we just put them on second and third? You know, it's just ridiculous.
You know, I mean, to me, I was thinking, if you don't want to do ties, why not a sudden death? You know, put a guy on third. Put a guy on third. If the, you know, just one guy, visiting team comes up to bat. If he doesn't score, home team wins.
Yeah.
That's it. It's over. You know, I mean, you can't get the guy in, he's on third, then you lose. And it's the home team, you know, and, it's the home team advantage. Well, then maybe you should have hit more home runs, or maybe you should have focused less on launch angle and actually putting the ball into play as opposed to swinging for the fences every time you get in that bat. So, I don't know. I mean, I just, again, putting a guy in second, you're really not speeding up the game because you're putting a guy in second that gives, you know, the opportunity for the coach to, depending on where we're at in the lineup, you know, National League team, you put the number eight batter on second. Granted, there's most likely a pinch hitter coming in, but you can walk that guy. You know, now you've got guys on second and third. You know, there's different strategies. And not only that, the bottom half of the 9th, 10th inning, you put the guy on second and the home team scores, you know, and this can go on for eight more innings. Essentially, you know, who knows, 20 innings. So I don't know. It's just, it's so little league. It just drives me nuts.
Yeah, that's
I would just
it's little league.
Yeah. You know, I mean, do it in the little league series. You know, do a whole week of that, you know, at that little league field and sell more merchandise and have little league rules, you know. Your team's down by 10, game over. So, I don't know. I would prefer a sudden death. You know, why beat around the bush? You have this end goal of what you really want. Why do we have to skip through all the BS to get there? Just do a sudden death, and you're done with. Just like our week 13 in fantasy baseball, Big Jack, I don't know if you've had the time. Well, I'm sure you've had the time to look. But, you know, in the Snake League, I skated out a nice little win, 16-12. I was going up against a bottom dweller and wasn't sure if I was going to beat him. He had, like, every starting pitcher doing well this week, so much so that he had 81 and two-thirds innings. I'm like, damn, did you draft? Yeah, draft any hitters, you know, and I don't know if, because I had a week where you know, I had three guys start on Sunday, and then they started the same week, you know, and so it gave you a lot of innings. But luckily, I squeaked, you know, we both tied with five wins, and I got the one less loss. But, you know, his downside was because of going with so much starting pitching, he couldn't make up the ground when it came to holds and saves, which I did. But, you know, of course, I couldn't get all the strikeouts that he had. And some of my stuff was lower than him, you know, hits per nine, walks per nine. It was pretty interesting. I was able to kind of squeak out by him. But, you know, he just had some guys with that hit bombs. So that kind of beat me out there. And it looks like Ali Big Jack, he went up one of our longtime guys in the league, one of the Elk guy, and we both had identical scores. So I don't know, did you have yours up? Do you want to talk about it a little bit? And actually, we pitched about the same inning. We had very similar scores. Very interesting how that played out. Oh, no, that was...
Yeah, no, I got two decent wins last week. So, you know, I don't have it up in front of me. Let me see if I can get it really, really fast here. Did you notice at all that I got disconnected? So maybe the problem was on my end and not yours.
Oh, well, there you go. Maybe that's why I didn't hear you talking for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, luckily you were talking about your fantasy week, so that kind of saved me because I was able to get everything back and reset while you were while you were doing that. But yeah, I heard it. You know, sign me off, and I was like, oh, maybe the problem was me. So,
well, and you appear to have a lot of starting pitching with nine starts this week, six of them quality. You had a 7-2, which worked out for you because your opponent, the Elk, had five wins and three losses, so he couldn't have screwed up any worse. Now, you know, depending on what my pitching situation was, going up against a guy like you with all those starting pitchers, and I don't know if you've fallen into this and ever done this before, where, you know, it's Tuesday or Wednesday, and you know that your starting pitching is not going to match up to his, your opponent's. And, you know, he's already had five guys start. They all won. You know, you had three guys start, let's say, and you didn't win, you won yet. You know, have you ever used the strategy where you just collect your innings and stop starting pitchers because of some of the percentage type ones, you know, the hits per nine, walks per nine, you know, as long as you don't continue to move, you can't break your score. And the more pitches, you know, the more pitching, starting pitching, the more innings, the more hits, things like that, where those percentages might go up and you can actually win them by pitching less. Gone that route?
You know, I've never tried it. Actually, I shouldn't say never. I think I tried it like the first or second year we did it. But that's when we were using walks and strikeouts and stuff like that. So you had to really monitor who you were playing and what you were doing, because, you know, when you ran into a dead team, you would lose those categories because he didn't have anybody going. So you would try to monitor that, or even with ERA, you know, and stuff like that. So it was a tad different. We've done a better job of adjusting it now. So that's been a big plus for us. So.
Yeah, you know, so to squeak it out, in the Snake League, you were up 16-12. So we both had a nice little win. You're in sixth place.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Elk, who's been a longtime player in our league. He's having a little bit of a rough year. Mm-hmm. You know, he's back in 16th, and this is probably the worst I've seen him, you know, at this point in the season. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if or how he bounces back. But, you know, at least he's changing his lineup and all that stuff. You know, we know he's going to play. So even if finishing down here, he's more than welcome to come back here. He's not one of those guys that he was caught. But, you know, like this, you know, like this week in, what is it, Snake League, I'm playing a dead team. And, yeah, and you know, I'm playing a dead team, and currently he's bashing my head in. I think I'm down by about 10 categories. So I'm hoping, hoping for a bounce back game.
Yeah, it's still early. But, you know, over in the auction league, which I'm doing a little bit better in lately, I got out a win, and I think it was a dead team, though, 3. So, you know, I mean, I couldn't tell you right now if it's a dead team or not, because he still had a lot of starting pitching. Mine just overall was completely better, which is one of those weeks where you're, like, super excited. You know, the complete game shutout, no-hitter, were all zeros on our end. I lost the losses, but, you know, I won every other category. And my hitting was just on, you know. Whatever he did, I just did better. So, but, you know, that's always fun. And then you beat one of my nemesis, Jaybirds. For whatever reason, when it counts, he kicks my ass, you know, playoffs, this and that. But, you know, you beat him up 11-4. Again, you know, one of the story things that I've noticed between you and I and several of the wins and losses I've gotten is that a lot of it comes down to pitching. You know, you can handle some injuries on the hitting side and make it up, but with pitching, it seemed like you really can't make that up as well. I mean, I've been lucky in the one league. I have, like, half my drafted pitchers are back on the IL, but I've been able to pick up some key ones, some, you know, youth that come in and do some stuff. But, you know, it's – I think I feel like with the hitting, if you – or with the pitching, if you're missing guys, you're just bound to lose worse. Would you say – would you agree?
Yeah, it's – you know, it's definitely a struggle to find pitching when somebody goes down. You know, I'm dealing with the Trevor Bauer situation in both leagues. And obviously, a very big guy to try to replace. And I did okay in the, I can't remember which league it was. I managed to find a decent guy. I think somebody cut him because he got hurt. And I was lucky enough to find them, but yeah, in the other league, I'm scuffling to replace him. I can't find anybody.
Yeah, and so, you know, in the auction league, I'm in sixth place, third in my division. Believe it or not, you're sitting at the top of your division, but in fourth place. You know, actually the two guys in front of me are in front of you. But, you know, and I had to throw in another complaint, Big Jack. So I picked up this rookie playing for the Angels. I think it's Jose Iglesias. I think it went over the weekend. He only managed to go like 3 2/3. And this is just what irritates me. I forget how it played out totally, but he ended up getting the loss. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but wasn't there a limit? Yeah, well, and not even a limit, but, you know, as a starting pitcher, if I am correct, you have to go 5 2/3 to get the win. But if you don't go 5 2/3, you don't get the win. But if you only pitch 3 innings, you automatically get the loss.
Well, losses don't matter how many innings you go.
Oh, I see, because it started relief pitching, too.
It's to get the win, you have to go 5. So, you know, that's the big key there.
Well, so, I mean, that does make sense why Sabermetrics throws out wins, because your win-loss ratio could just be total, a jacked number. It might not even make total sense. If you try to do a ratio of wins versus losses, I don't know. It's just kind of irritating to me. I'm like, you got to give the kid. He only went 3 1/3 or 3 2/3. Why does he get the loss? you know, especially if other pitchers came in, just kind of irritated me. I'm getting old. I forget some of the rules.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, you can go out there and go, you know, one inning, and then, you know, up 8 or 9 runs, and your team just doesn't come back, well, you get the loss. So.
Yeah, but I mean, the way it works out, though, too, is when we look at relief pitching, I don't even look at losses. I don't even care. You know, I'm going to look at blown save before I look at that, which those numbers should equate each other somewhat. But, you know, it's – but, of course, when I'm looking at starting pitching, it's hard, too, because you look at the losses, but, you know, then you got a guy like Jacob deGrom who's going to go, you know, 13-10, and 9 of those 10 losses were one-run games, you know. Basically,
yeah.
They lost 1-0. So, it's just, I don't know. It's a hard category.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the fun, you know, the fun things you get to deal with when you're, you know, you're in fantasy. You know, and like the one league I did send out, you know, I emailed everybody. It was like, hey, you know, looking for a catcher. Send me some offers. I got one offer.
You?
It was horrible. Yeah, it was horrible. So.
Well, you said you wanted starting catcher, right?
Yeah, well, I was looking to upgrade. I figure somebody out there has got 2 starting catchers. So I was looking to upgrade, and the only guy who sent me a deal was a guy who wanted to give me Yan Gomes.
Yeah, it's,
you know, and I was just like,
rough.
Well, I was hoping to do a little better, but thank you. So,
yeah, you know, in the one league I have, well, I have Buster Posey in both, so you know I'm not trading him.
Yeah.
You know, he's dinged up right now. He's been day-to-day, so I'm not looking to move either of my other catchers, but I'd have to look again. I have Omar Narváez from Milwaukee. And, you know, it's one of the things I like about him is, you know, there's days where he just tears it up. But then it goes like a week where he goes 0-7, you know, whatever it is, doesn't get much batting time. So it's one of those where I was like, well, I don't think this is even worth offering him to begin with. And then the other league, I picked up Zach Collins because I was banking on, and I can't remember his first name, with San Diego, Austin Nola, I believe it is. And,
yeah.
You know, he's categorized to play, you know, he's qualifies for catcher first and second. So I thought this kid is going to be perfect. You know, I'm going to be able to play him every single day as long as he's playing every day, and he's pretty much been hurt. And Zach Collins, obviously, as you know, isn't starting, you know, full-time because of Grandal. So I kind
well, now
of get him in here and there.
So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but they've been
I saw today he had surgery and his return is undetermined. So.
Oh, wow. Well, who's the other catcher they use? Because I keep getting X's on Collins.
They just brought a guy up to replace Grandal, obviously, and he caught today. I forgot his name.
Oh, okay.
So I'll have to.
Well, and what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Collins?
He was a big time prospect when they drafted him. So, you know, this is really going to give him a chance to shine. I don't know if you saw it or not today. They also designated your guy Adam Eaton for assignment. So
yeah,
he'll no longer be a lifeguard. Here you
Who
go. I'm going to – well, hang on. Let me give this a shot here first. The catcher they brought up is – I'm going to go with Sebi, S-E-B-Y, and it's got to be Zavala, Z-A-V-A-L-A.
Yeah, I've heard of him. I think probably at Steve Stone talking or at the cell.
So.
And was it Adam Engel that came back and they DFA'd Adam Eaton?
Yes. Yeah, one Adam came back and they DFA'd the other one. So, but that was a surprise. I wasn't expecting it to be Eaton.
No.
I just figured they'd send one of the other, you know, either Gavin Sheets or Andrew Vaughn or somebody like that, or maybe even Brian Goodwin would get sent back in. But, yeah, surprisingly, it was Eaton. They mentioned today that they liked the way Vaughn and Sheets are playing and they wanted to keep them. And the fact that both Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robin are now doing baseball activities, they're just, you know, there's not going to be enough playing time, so they cut Eaton loose.
Kind of giving them the opportunity to find another team to play with.
Yeah, so.
I mean, he helped supply a nice little cachet of prospects for the White Sox, so.
Yeah. You know, and to be fair, he was struggling. He was only hitting about 200, and he's only on a one-year deal. So, you know, it kind of sucks because he is when he can stay healthy, he's a good player.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just didn't work out. And, you know, we'll see. But, you know, the White Sox did get a 6-1 win today over Minnesota. So they put Minnesota a little farther back. Cleveland got swept in a doubleheader by Tampa Bay. So I believe the Sox lead in the Central now, I want to double check, it is up to 8.5. So it's
Big Jack.
You know, it's been a... Yeah?
I got a quick run, so I'll be back in like 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. So, the White Sox lead in the Central is up to, well, they have it as 8 here. I don't know if they have the other Cleveland game in officially, so... but, yeah, obviously, you know, at this point, you know, we have a lot of early games today. I mentioned Tampa Bay did sweep the doubleheader. They won game one 8-1, and technically they threw a 7-inning no-hitter in game two, and they won that 4-1. The Mets did beat the Brewers 4-3 in 8 innings. And the other game that's final, the Tigers beat the Rangers 5-3. Now we do currently have some games moving along here. Let me grab the scores here for you as we get going, and I can find the live one here. Let's see what we got. All right, we got Atlanta taking it to the Pirates. It's 14-3 in the bottom of the ninth. The Reds are up on the Royals 4-2. That game's in the bottom of the eighth. And the Angels are currently leading the Red Sox by that same 4-2 score. That game is in the top of the sixth inning. So, yeah, there's the, you know, definitely got some, you know, you always get the early action on Wednesday because a lot of teams are off on Thursday and they're either headed home or they're going to their next destination. But there are still plenty of games to watch tonight if you want to do that. The ESPN has a game tonight. They're showing the Los Angeles Dodgers at the Miami Marlins. Jake Reed is making the start for the Dodgers. It looks like he's going to be the guy to get the first chance to fill in for Trevor Bauer. Ross Detweiler is starting for the Marlins. We have the Toronto Blue Jays at the Baltimore Orioles. It's Hyunjin Ryu for Toronto. Matt Harvey is going to make the start for the Orioles. The Brewers and the Mets' second game of their doubleheader. Milwaukee is in New York. Brett Anderson gets the start for Milwaukee, and the Mets have yet to announce. They are currently undecided. The Phillies are still here in Chicago to take on the Cubs. Zach Wheeler gets the start for the Phillies, and Alec Mills gets the start for the Cubs. So we'll see if the Cubs can break that now 11-game losing streak tonight. We got the Oakland A's at the Houston Astros. Sean Manaea makes the start for Oakland, and Luis Garcia will start for Houston. If you have the ESPN Plus app, you can watch the Colorado Rockies at the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's Antonio Senzatella for Colorado and Humberto Cast, well, it's got to be Castellanos because it's spelled just like Knicks. So there you go. The St. Louis Cardinals are at the San Francisco Giants. It's Johan Oviedo for the Cardinals against Alex Wood for the Giants. The New York Yankees are at the Seattle Mariners. It's Domingo Herman against Yusei Kikuchi. And then the night wraps up with the Washington Nationals at the San Diego Padres. We get Patrick Corbin for the Nationals and Chris Paddock making the start there for the Padres. So there you go. You are, excuse me. You are all setting up and running and rolling along to your baseball for tonight. So you can check out whatever game you like, or maybe you're watching something that's wrapping up right now, but you know, we are, you know, just kind of hanging out. But I did see that the Dodgers have canceled Trevor Bauer bobblehead night. Now, it was scheduled for August, which in a way is kind of ominous, because you would have figured, you know, he's only on a 7-day list. You may have thought, oh, well, maybe he'll be back in time for that. But you got to wonder if maybe the Dodgers know something, or they've been informed something by Major League Baseball that hasn't been announced yet. But yeah, for I believe, I want to say it was like August 19th or something, the date has been canceled. So it will be interesting to see if we get an announcement coming up or how that plays out. But apparently maybe the Dodgers think that Bauer won't be returning by then. You know, I found that very interesting that was the route they went there, and we'll have to see how that plays out. But yeah, I do wonder what they're going to do with the bobbleheads. So. Do you just hang on to him? Because, I mean, he is under contract. I think he's under contract for next year. Well, technically, I guess he is. He's got an option year, so we'll have to see if he would do that. But, you know, why wouldn't he after this, right? So, just one of those things. But, yeah, I found it interesting that they made that move. And, again, I'm wondering if, you know, did it, you know, does it actually mean something? You know, was there a little bit of notice or a little bit of something else going on to where, you know, they needed to be, oh, okay, I need to do this. It could just be the thing that they felt it was the best way to handle this with everything going on with him. We'll just kind of have to wait and see. You know, there's no real way to know or anything like that. And I just found out one of my guys went on the DL, so I want to make a roster move here while I'm thinking about it. And, of course, it's not going to let me, because that's how things work for me. So we will just have to remember to do it later. So remind me. Can you remind me that I have to make a roster move? I would greatly appreciate that. So... and while Jacob DeGrom did pitch for the Mets today, he announced, I believe, before the game that he plans on skipping the All-Star game. He probably would have been the National League starter. No surprise there, but he's gonna skip it, which, you know, I guess makes sense. He has had he has had some injury issues this season, nothing major as of yet, so that's good. But hopefully the rest, you know, they get some extra time off and now, and, you know, hopefully that helps him out, and we'll see how it goes. But obviously it's disappointing if you're a fan, because he's somebody you would like to see pitch. And unfortunately, you know, we're not going to get that. But again, you know, it's understandable, and I'm sure there will be other players that skip, or I shouldn't say skip, but come down with injuries, because that does have a tendency to happen when it comes to when it comes to the All-Star game. And you can understand why players don't want to go, or just want that extra time off. So we'll see how many guys do it, or what works on. But I don't know about you, but I'm still waiting for the trade market to heat up. I mentioned, I think yesterday we had the Rowdy Tellez trade. But that's not, he's not exactly what you would call a major name. I'm kind of waiting to see which big time player is going to get moved. For whatever reason, it hasn't happened yet. I keep hearing things. Apparently the White Sox are in on every infielder. I've heard Eduardo Escobar, Adam Frazier, and even Trevor Story. So, you just got to kind of wonder if or when or how somebody's going to make a move. They've been talking about Joey Gallo going to the Pirates for what seems like months now, and you've got to think with the Trevor situation, the Dodgers would be looking to add a starting pitcher. You just wonder who or what it might be, but we're getting close to the deadline, and remember, there are no waiver deals anymore. So you got to figure something's going to happen sometime.
Is it a hard deadline on July 31st now?
Yeah, I believe so. Now you can't make deals after that. You can still waive players and they can be picked up that way. But yeah, I that's a little tougher to do.
Well, do you think most teams are just waiting till the All-Star break till after?
It is possible, but as close as we are now, we're less than a week away. Does it make that big of a difference?
Yes and no. I mean, like you brought up the Dodgers, for instance, and of course, pitching is pitching. Everyone can always use it. But with the expanded playoffs and all that, do you think that kind of plays into it where everyone might just wait a week or two because there's not a whole lot of teams looking to fill this, similar positions? I mean, of course you can always upgrade any position, but the need individually between the 30 teams might not represent a huge portion. So, of one position. So if that's the case, do you kind of drag it out just in case, where you might not want to give up on a guy in case someone gets hurt on your end or vice versa? You might wait a little bit to make a move in case something happens with somebody, or, even like, the situation with not you and I personally, but, Didi Gregorius and who did I trade you for? Moustakas?
Moustakas, yeah.
Didi's back, but, he had a great day one day, and then, the next day, Didi went 0-4, was an 0-4. So, does that kind of change things for you? Maybe that's why they're pushing it out so far. I mean, I think we're definitely going to see some stuff. I just don't know if we're going to see big names. Are the Royals going to finally move Whit Merrifield or someone like that? I don't know if we're going to have a lot of that. And I feel like at some of the smaller market teams right now, I just don't feel like anyone really has anybody you're completely looking for that is going to help bolster your team. I could be wrong, too.
We are talking, that brings it back to the Cubs, who are on an 11-game losing streak. And, they have some pretty interesting names. I mean, let's face it, you and I both know Chris Bryant has to go. Otherwise, he walked away for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So, you know, we're waiting for him to go. Remember, early in the season, the Yankees were really interested in Anthony Rizzo. Now, they do have Luke Voit back, but I believe he's hitting under 200, and he hasn't shown the power he showed last year. You know, you got to wonder if they would be interested. You know, I'm unfortunately, they're 9.5 back, but they are over 500.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe the division could end up being out of reach, but there are wild card spots. You know, and of course, you know, every team needs pitching. You know, nobody has enough pitching no matter who you are. So, you know, there's always that to be added. And, you know, that's where you find these middle relievers and type of guys on these kind of teams, you know, or in the situation with the Twins, would they part with Jose Berrios, who, you know, is considered a future ace? You'd have to give up a lot to get him, but a team like the Dodgers could make that move.
Mm-hmm. He'd be a great addition, but I kind of wanted to go back to, you know, Chris Bryant, and, you know, of course, the main target for me that just pops into my head easily, only because it's the last game I watched. And actually, the last part I watched before I left to get the kids, Big Jack was another home run by Shohei Ohtani. with Mike Trout's issue in half a season and for what they have, I mean, I just don't see any team having to give up a whole lot to get Chris Bryant to begin with. Maybe some close to maybe a major league ready player. Maybe the Angels interested in taking on. I don't know, but you know, throw out the Joe Maddon connection. I don't really think that would have any play in it. But the way they're playing and the way Chris Bryant has been playing the outfield, I mean, it seems like a good fit for him to go there for half a season and then go out on the market, you know, and that's where you just wonder what a team would be willing to give up to get him. Do you see any other playoff contending teams that could use another outfielder? I mean, of course, you know, the White Sox would have been on that list, but you just mentioned that, you know, Luis and Eloy are resuming baseball activities. So I don't think that would really work for them. They would be very log jammed. You know, going off the top of my head, you know, the Dodgers need a guy like that. And not only that, I mean, watching the Phillies, I didn't watch last night because it was just complete embarrassment by the time I, Big Jack, I got home and my first notification was Andrew McCutchen Grand Slam. I'm like, hey, I'm not even turning this game on. And then it was like 10-0 an inning or two later. And I'm like, yeah. But watching them the other night, I mean, the Phillies are definitely one of those teams where you're looking on paper and you're like, wow, this is a really good team. But, you know, would they have a chance to maybe go after Chris Bryant, even if it's for rental, and then, you know, have that signing to bring him up to be buddy-buddy with, you know, Bryce Harper? Yeah, I know they brought Otabell back, but do you think Chris Bryant could play some center field for the Phillies? Or is that just pushing it a little too far?
Legitimately, the perfect fit is the Mets because they need him as a third baseman. You know, it's just, would they make the move? But, you know, with the versatility that he is, that Chris Bryant has shown this year, you know, he's played some center field. Why couldn't he? You know, Philly isn't a gigantic ballpark. You know, he could easily fit in there and, you know, give them the extra bat they need. You know, and then again, like I mentioned, with the versatility he's showing and the DH being in play, he legitimately fits with almost every American League
team.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally no American League team that is in contention right now that couldn't use Chris Bryant. you know, no matter who you think you are, you could use Chris Bryant. So. You know, just one of them things. And, you know, like the team that just kind of popped into my head looking at it here, you know, would be a team like, you know, the Red Sox, who are currently using Danny Santana in the outfield. You can't tell me Bryant's not an upgrade there. But the Red Sox, you know, the Red Sox, they're in first place by 5 or 6 games now. And, you know, but imagine adding Chris Bryant to that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and again, I mean, if the Yankees were legitimately looking for a first baseman and the Cubs didn't want to part with Rizzo because they thought maybe they could re-sign him, you know, hey, Bryant could be a fit there.
You mean Rizzo?
Oh, no, I mean Bryant.
Yeah.
You know, they could add Chris Bryant in and play him at first base. You know, he's done that.
Well, and I Taylor McGregor, the nice sideline reporter, I hate saying that because it's not sideline. What do you call their position? I guess it is sideline because there's no other word for it. In game. There we go.
Call it
So, I mean, she did mention that the other day that Bryant is, I forgot, I don't know if it's in the history of baseball, but definitely of the last 20, 30 years, the only player to be selected to go into the All-Star game and have started 10 or more games at 5 different positions. I mean, that's just crazy. You don't even hear that.
Yeah, well, here, you know, think about this for a fit. You know, nobody expected the Giants to be where they are. Brandon Belt is hurt. You know, they do have one outfield position that they kind of shuffle guys around through and rotate. How nice of a fit would that be in that lineup for half a season to try to make a run at the playoffs when nobody thought you were going to be there?
I think it would be huge. I mean, you know, you mentioned the infield, the first base. You know, the Giants have been with the young man, Dominic Solano, who's been kind of their utility guy. And, you know, his numbers are, albeit not too great. So, you know, being able to bring Chris Bryant in, I think would definitely be an upgrade over the young man. I don't want to devalue him, you know, because he's on my fantasy team. But,
well, you know, you do wonder as well, I believe Belt is in the last year of his deal. You know, maybe you send him to Chicago with a prospect as part of the deal, and then the Cubs wouldn't have to worry about picking up his salary because he could just go into free agency next year.
Yeah, and you know, and you're right, because I do believe he is in his last year. Because he's, I think we've talked about him a lot actually, and wondering what the Giants' next moves are. And not only that, you know, who do you keep around from that World Series kind of team?
You know, and I also forgot, I forgot that Evan Longoria is also injured for them. They've been using Wilmer Flores at third base. So, you know, Bryant could easily bounce back and forth, you know, like between first, third, and the outfield if needed. So, you know, it's a really interesting proposition. You just wonder, you know, is this something the Giants would do? And, you know, it's not like they would have to give up Joey Bart, who's their big-time catching prospect. You know, the Cubs would probably be looking for a double-A or single-A player to come back for Chris Bryant, and I'm sure, you know, San Francisco has the prospect down there that they could send one or two to acquire a guy like Bryant. So, you know, maybe they step up and add him, which would be huge with the way they played. But, But yeah, you know, it's I'm just kind of, you know, I think once the first shoe finally drops, we'll get the, you know, we'll see more of it. But I, you know, I mean, do you honestly think, you know, and the Cubs are only two games under, but do you see them as a playoff contender still? I mean, I guess technically they're not out of the wild card race, but why, I guess, is the question. You know, what do you see them doing?
I mean, I think they could possibly slide in and have an opportunity to make the playoffs, but I don't see this being a World Series bound team. You know, and even for as well as the Brewers are doing, I don't see them going there either.
No, well, you know, honestly, I don't see anything out of the Central winning a playoff series. You know,
no.
Maybe Milwaukee has a chance if Woodruff and Burns, but they sound like a law firm. You know, if they come out and pitch two fantastic games for them, you know, then I could, you know, maybe we see that. But I, you know, once the level amps up, I really think with the way the Giants are playing, whoever manages to advance into the World Series is going to be from the NL West, be it the surprising Giants, the Dodgers, or the Padres, just whoever gets hot. You know, because DeGrom can only pitch once every 3 or 4 days. So behind him, the Mets don't have a ton.
No, and you wonder if Milwaukee would be a team that would make some kind of move, but they don't usually spend the money, so I don't know.
You know, they probably will, but, you know, they'll make a move like they just did. You know, yesterday they went out and they picked up Rowdy Tellez, you know, because Vogelbach is hurt. So they add the left-handed hitting first baseman, but they're not going to go out. I mean, like, they're not going to be the team that adds Trevor Story, you know, or any of the big name guys that we saw. You know, they're not going to end up in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's not going to make that kind of move. They never do. So, you know, even for half a year, you know, that's like Tampa Bay. You know, they may add a piece here or a piece there, but it's not going to be a huge name or a gigantic deal. It's just not in their DNA. So, and it, you know, and it works for them. You know, and it's been working in Milwaukee. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, they've got Yelich, right?
Yeah, you know, but when they acquired him, you know, he was young. So, you know, it didn't cost them a ton. You know, like their big signing, remember that huge signing was Lorenzo Cain. When they brought him in, that was a gigantic signing. And unfortunately, he's really battled injuries, and it just hasn't worked out there for him because, you know, he's a fantastic player. So, you know, but, yeah, I believe he's in the last year of his deal. So he'll be off the books there. But, yeah, we'll see. You know, I expect them to add. I just don't expect them to add anything huge. You know, like they picked up Willy Adames really early. And, you know, we'll see, you know, what else they add. Probably, I would guess, a bullpen piece, maybe two. But, like, it won't be Craig Kimbrell. You know, but he should get the Cubs a little bit in return because he's having a great year. You know, just as long as they want to play follow him. So, all right, hey, well, let's get out of here. All right, the movie makes it up and we're going to roll on. Now, remember, we're all on Thursdays now for a while while doing this business. So, John McHugh and I are back at 5 o'clock on Friday. If you want to meet us here while we're gone, you know the deal. SportsTimeRadio.com. What did you blog that went up over there today? So, get on over there and check it out. The link will take you to the Facebook page. So, come on over there and like that. But don't forget to see it. Radio. And you can also find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you'd like to do that. That would be great. And hey, if you were able to stop by and listen to us live, like a lot of people do out there, believe it or not, thank you very much.
very much for doing that. If you missed out, come on over to TuneIn.com. You can listen anytime you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com.